that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got our coffee here. You're listening to the Wranglers, and here it is Saturday morning, February 7th, 2015. And boy, the time just marches right on. It does. Having a beautiful winter out here at the Radio Ranch. Hopefully you're staying warm this winter as well. But we do thank you for joining us this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And didn't know if John was able to get on yet or not. Maybe not.
No, I'll call him on that other line.
Okay, we'll have to do that. And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And it is. Sun's just trying to peek over the mountains back to the east. And it is a beautiful morning here, and we're thankful to have it. Well, Kyle, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll kind of go from there.
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your name. We thank you for the Son who died on the cross for us. And we thank you that we can continue to look at that cross, Lord, that empty cross, for support, for encouragement, for strength. Lord, a place to go, to hang all our troubles on, so to speak. Lord, we thank you and we ask you to help build up our faith in that cross. Put that hope. Lord, let us expect that resurrection, that good resurrection, Lord. We ask for you to continue to watch over us, to guide and protect us. For all of yours, Lord, to pray on that armor of God and to pray to the Father every day. We We ask again for your Holy Spirit guidance and direction to be upon us, be upon the remnant, our families, and all those that are yours in these difficult times. And we thank you for whatever we have to go through, whatever cross we have to bear. Lord, we know it's for our good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And see if we got John here this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Got you in, John. Glad you could join us. John's having little phone problems down there in the Colorado area. But got you on this morning. And we'll have the rest of the phone lines open up as well this morning. 307-745-5913. If you want to give us a call this Saturday morning. And John, didn't know if you had anything you wanted to lead off or start off with this morning?
Nothing specific. Excuse me. Ended up watching most of that presidential so-called prayer breakfast. I think in a lot of ways it backfired on the Obama nation administration as they brought forth a doctor. I don't have his name handy, but he's the one that went to fight Ebola in Africa and ended up contracting the disease and then gives all the credit to God for surviving it. But he prayed very similar to the way we would have prayed, and he used the Lord's Prayer as a template. And I'm sure that isn't what they expected. And he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ and basically told them, in being in positions of authority, you will be held responsible for your decisions. And so it was, I was pretty encouraged with that. And then another one that I think they didn't really realize what he was going to say was Dale Worthrop, or whatever his name is, the NASCAR driver, was the keynote speaker. And he proclaimed Jesus Christ at least 6 times and basically said one day he had a bad wreck and he realized he didn't know if he was going to go to heaven or to hell, and he hit his knees and asked God for forgiveness. And of course it was, you know, accept Jesus Christ into your heart, but at least to hear the name Jesus was refreshing, especially when the first speaker was Sister Mary, which, boy, I tell you what, if she wasn't a dyke, I don't know what was. But anyways, she come forward and she preached. And what was really interesting was she didn't even say, okay, well, let's pray or bow your heads or anything. She was just speaking, and all of a sudden she starts praying. And everybody else closes their eyes, and you know, and they think she's going to pray. Well, she's praying, but she's panning the audience just like you would if you were given a speech. And it was quite a long speech, but I can tell you one thing, the name Jesus was not mentioned. So it was interesting to watch. And then the abomination comes up and speaks. And if you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, you would think of what he said was good, and you would be in agreement with a lot of it. But it's all lip service, because that's not what he's doing. And remember, rat poison is just 2% poison, 98% cornmeal. So, well, that's my dissertation on that speech.
Yeah, there was quite a bit throughout even the mainstream media, or at least the right-wing mainstream media, you know, regarding Obama. Of course, he condemned ISIS, the burning alive of the Jordanian pilot last week by the ISIS terrorists, and he condemned it. Oh, they're doing terrible things, horrible things. They shouldn't do those things. And then he says, but you know, Christians, we can't be all high and mighty. And he I don't think he used the word we, but he said, now Christians can't be all high and mighty because they've done some terrible things too. The Crusades, they did some terrible things in the Crusades. And in a way, there's some truth there. But let me tell you what the Christians did do in the Crusades. They killed ungodly, antichrist Muslims, is one of the things they did in the Crusades. They played Christians and Muslims, and for the most part, they won. And to a Muslim, that's a pretty terrible thing. To a Christian, I think it's a pretty good thing myself to wipe part of the Antichrist off, to go and kill those that are lawless, to go and at least at that time to protect their people. You know, the Revolutionary War in the late 1700s, wasn't very long after that, that the Navy and the newly formed U.S. Marines were sent over to a place called Tripoli. And that's in the U.S. Marines fighting song, "From the Shores of Tripoli." I think it's "From the Halls of Montezuma to the Shores of Tripoli, we'll fight our nation's battles." And the reason they had to go to Tripoli was because they had to go take care of the Muslim pirates and the Muslim piracy that was raging throughout the Mediterranean and that was coming in and attacking U.S. warships and U.S. sailing ships and other nation ships and destroying them, taking our people, Caucasian Christian people, slaves. And the U.S. Marines and the U.S. Navy went over there just a couple hundred years ago and put an end to that. And that's a horrible thing. That's horrible. That's a terrible thing. If you're a Muslim, if you hate law, but you know, if you love your neighbor as yourself and you believe that you've been sent to be a blessing to the world and that you're supposed to help the hand that's feeble and the knee that's weak, well, then it's a really good thing. And we hear...
Yeah, but you know, you still have to remember, though, that, I mean, there's a lot of proof that leads the origin of Muslims and Islam to the Roman Catholic Church. The bottom line is, and once we figure this out, there'll be a lot more power in our side. But basically, you're either for the kingdom of Jesus Christ or you're against it, period. And one of the shibboleths ought to be, do they pronounce the name Jesus Christ? And if they don't, well, then it's pretty obvious. And you can tell, even just watching that prayer breakfast, which ones do and which ones don't. And you watch, too, what that Pope's doing now. He's trying to unite these nations, including Islam, back to the Catholic Church. So they're the enemies of God, and then there are those that are for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and that's it. And as soon as we figure that out and we focus our efforts against all the Antichrist enemies instead of just targeting one or two, we'll have the victory.
Yeah, and that shibboleth spelled out there, John, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I mean, it. Not only are you to say the name, you're to believe that he was the Son of God manifested here on the earth. I mean, that shibboleth is there for us to read. And, you know, when you mentioned what you mentioned earlier, Richard, about the Crusades or whatever, I mean, weren't those were mostly Catholic? So I don't even consider those Christians, and it kind of
I kind of cringe when
they throw me as a Christian in with that group, you know, because, you know, for whatever, you know, it just sickens me. But the fact of the matter is our enemies do that. But the shibboleth is there, and if you can't pass that test, and it's, you know,
and that's today.
That's
for today.
Every day, from the beginning to the end. That's the test. You know, one of the many tests, but it's a big one. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't pass that test, you're not in that group of Christians.
You're not for the kingdom. If you don't know who is the leader of the kingdom.
Right.
One of the biggest deceptions in this world today is that the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest Christian church.
Yeah.
Yep. They got... I mean, and people believe that. But anyways, it can be confusing, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But once you figure out that you're either for the kingdom of Jesus Christ or you're against it, you're either a son of the devil, right? You're either a demon or you're a son of God. And that's it.
Amen.
Amen.
So they're all Antichrist bastards, and they all need to be removed.
Yep, it is repent or be destroyed. It's the same today as it has always been. And
that's just it. Some of them have been deceived from a youth up. So give them space to repent. Help them
Absolutely.
Understand the truth. warn them.
Yes.
But there comes a point, and a lot of it is, you know, once you've been enlightened, like Hebrews said, you know, and then you turn away from it, and there's a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some will say that's harsh, but it is impossible to renew you. You have to have those tests in your life.
Yes.
You have to have the shibboleths where they come to your door and say, all right, what's the password, buddy? You know, and if they say certain things, it's like, sorry, you know, slam the door. I mean, because this is, you know, the body of Christ. It's a invite only club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you get the invitation and you do certain things, you can pass that the shibboleth test. You know, some of them look real close. Some of them probably said it back then in those days, really close to the right way, but they didn't quite have it. You know.
Yeah, I think one of them today and that you see in that book, Serpent Sons of Hell, and a simple shibboleth that our pastor preached and put out. Because he saw the need that the remnant had to know that password or passwords, to realize that it, just as it was in those days, it is war today. And I think one of the shibboleths, we've talked about the name, and John, you mentioned it, that you see that it's the, you might call him the common man, that still uses the name of Jesus Christ. But that is his name. And you've got some out there that don't use his name, that maybe think they're a little more intellectual, and they use this Yahweh Fui name. And that's one of the shibboleths. Sorry, wrong password. And the door slammed. And just like you said, Kyle, I think that there's some that get real close. Because, you know, when they're talking with us, oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus this and Jesus that. But, you know, on maybe another day of the week, maybe on Mondays, they're over talking to somebody else. And it's, oh, Yahweh Fui this and Yahweh Fui that. And that is a double-minded person. And, you know, I think those are, whether they know it or not, whether they have been deceived or not, that's a sin to be deceived. And it's a sin to stay in that deception. That's a failing of that shibboleth. I think we see that same thing. That's just what the abomination does. He perverts the scripture about being all things to all men.
Yeah. And it sounds to me...
Go ahead.
I didn't hear what you... Though, I heard a little clip, like you said, Richard, on Obama, what he said, but it sounds to me like... and this has always worked in churches, is basically, have you sinned? Have your forefathers sinned? Have, you know, they do that to get you to back off on truth, you know? What happened, you know, whether it was wrong or right, what happened in our ancestors' life or even our lives 20 years ago or whatever, that shouldn't have any bearing on what is right or wrong today. But they try to make it that way, and so they get you to shrink back. And, okay, well, I'm not going to profess this truth because... Well, they know this about me, or they know this about my granddad, or whatever they want to do, even if they go back 200 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is all just buzzwords to get you to stop saying, this is wrong and this is right.
Right. You know?
And it sounds to me like that went on during that speech, too.
Good point.
Well, yeah, he did talk about how our forefathers fought and died and bled to give us the right to practice any religion we want to, or no religion. That's not true.
No, it's an absolute lie.
They fought to practice the religion of Christianity and to follow Jesus Christ. That's what they fought for. And then when they talk about the separation, you know, they have to put the separation of church and state, and we must remember that part of that is the separation of church and state.
And that didn't come in till... I think that they a court case on that till about the actual 1950s or 60s, if I'm correct in that, was down at Jason's earlier this week. Jason's working on some stuff, and he had an old video that was David Barton, right, Jason? I didn't know if you had a date on that, but that had to be 20-plus years ago, that video that was playing. And David Barton was talking about that very thing, that, you know, reading the thousands, commenting and referencing the thousands of writings of the founding fathers, you might say. And time after time, 55 men signed the Declaration of Independence. 52 were avowed evangelical Christians, and 3 were deists, which my understanding is they believed in a supreme being or power. They just didn't name Jesus Christ. So 53 out of 55, you call that a or 52 out of 55, I think that's a majority. You know, 92% or something.
Yeah.
They were avowed Christians, and they understood that this republic had been given to and would work in a Christian nation of Christian people. And that separation of church and state is not anywhere in any of the United States documents until you get into some ungodly Supreme Court rulings.
Yep. Well, the Constitution, by their own admittance, is only for a moral and Bible-believing people.
And we are no longer a moral and Bible-believing people as a people in this nation, as a majority.
It's taken them 200 years to bring it to this point, but...
It'll only take a second to bring them back.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you saw, but the Supreme Court on Friday afternoon issued tectonic news. It agreed to decide whether all 50 states must issue licenses for same-sex marriages. Well, isn't that big of them? I got news for them. They're going to be judged by the Supreme Judge for the decisions that they make, and we have some plans here within the ministry to put them on notice of what the decisions that they make and the repercussions for those decisions. And Lord willing, there'll be letters sent to them personally so that they understand that we have brought this before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if they make that decision, then there's consequences and there's repercussions. The other thing we need to do is to lift up Judge Sutton on the 6th Appellate Court. His ruling is the reason that it's going back to the Supreme Court, because he ruled against abolishing the laws against same-sex marriage in 4 states. I think it was Tennessee, Ohio, Michigan, and Kentucky. So we really ought to be lifting him up in prayer and safety, and because they're besides themselves that one would dare step out against their agenda. His name is Jeffrey S. Sutton. So remember to keep him in your prayers.
You know, when John, you mentioned that about it going to the Supreme Court, and that they will now decide on for the states.
Yeah, 50 states, all 50.
Yeah, for all 50 states. They'll probably include Puerto Rico there as well. But
yeah.
And he's the judge?
No. Jeffrey S. Sutton is the only judge, and then there was one other woman, I don't have her name, but anyways, in the 6th Appellate Court, who basically said, no, I'm not going along with everybody else, and I'm upholding the laws that are already in place, because this issue is a moral issue, and it should be decided by the people, not by the courts or the judges. And that's his position. And if you read his position, it's pretty profound, and even a lot of the old judges have, even the Antichrist judges have looked at it and said it was clever how he defended it. So we just need to lift him up for protection, because I'm sure they'd love nothing more than to have him removed.
Yeah, the battle lines are being drawn.
Yeah, with vaccines as well. I mean, they're talking about passing laws right now to force you to have your children vaccinated. Well, at that point, you know, you have to decide. They want to give you a shot. Maybe we need to give them a shot. So it may be getting to that point where our back's at the wall. I don't know. Sure seems like it.
Seems like it gets closer and closer every day.
Yep, praise the Lord.
Yeah, it was interesting. You brought up the gay marriage thing, and I was looking into it this week, and it was interesting because I was reading the controversials about when they started bringing into existence just marriage licenses in general. And it was, we're talking early 1800s, about right around the 1800s when the marriage licenses were coming in. And at one point in time here in the United States, you didn't have to have a license to marry. Mm-hmm. And where the marriage license came in was allowing interracial couples to marry, and that's where the marriage license came into existence. And it wasn't a marriage license at first; it was a license to intermarry. And you know, from that sprung the marriage license. But you know, it really reminds me of what the way we're fighting it today is when we fight this, you know, these homosexual gay marriages. There was people fighting the marriage license coming into existence back then because what it was a license. It was illegal for a black to marry a white, but if you had a marriage license, that made it legal.
Wow.
It's just that growing of the leaven. I mean, look at where we're at, and I mean, that has sprung forth from, you know, from one sin. I mean, can you say that intermarrying, you know, is that any less of a sin than, what's worse? You know, we're in the same boat as our forefathers were. You know, there was some of that fought it, and then there was some of them that didn't. But you know, here it is. You know, now people don't think twice about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading that Justice Kennedy wrote the majority ruling in the first time when the court basically ruled that the appellate courts could overrule the states. And his basically, the main reason was, he said, DOMA created a second tier of marriages and humiliates tens of thousands of children now being raised by same-sex couples. Now, that was his opinion, his defense in the reason for suspending DOMA.
Which was the Defense of Marriage Act that was passed
right
years ago to prevent same-sex marriages, to call them unions and not marriages.
Right.
And that was struck down.
Yeah, I read.
Yeah, so what is that?
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, that's all right. When, I was trying to find that the other day. I couldn't find out what it was called. Is that an effect all over the United States, or is that just in certain states?
Yeah, that was a federal thing. I think it was, I thought Bush might have done it. DOMA, yeah, Defense of Marriage Act. Remember when he said it was a marriage is between one man and one woman?
Yeah, and then Clinton upheld it until the very end, and then I think right when Clinton was heading out of office or something, he rescinded it. But it got rescinded. They struck it down. They pass it, and I think that when they do that, that just gives the enemy time to reinforce and to get all their ducks in a row, knowing full well that it's only a temporary thing, that they're going to come back and rescind it. And it's man's law anyway. We need, you know, do we need, as a Christian people, we don't need permission from the state to marry. We understand what it is. We understand that we read about it in the Word, and we don't need the state's permission or the U.S. government's permission to do that.
Nope.
They want you to think that you do.
Covenant between a husband and wife and God.
They want to be a third party in that. And
exactly. That's what it boils down to. And then, you know, you think about it, it's they've taken a third party relationship with with our Heavenly Father, and they've removed the Heavenly Father from it, and they've become that third party. You know, they're the ones that can, you know, grant you the permission to separate. They're the ones that grant you the permission to divorce, to put away your wife, whatever you want to call it. They are the ones that, you know, they're the ones that come in authority in a marriage when, you know, when you get a marriage license. And, you know, these homosexuals, they're doing, what's the point in them getting, they're doing their detestable things anyway. But they want to, and it's just, it's blasphemy. It's what they want is they know that God intended marriage to be between one man and one woman. And I think more than anything, it's these antichrists sticking their middle finger up at God. You know, he's the one that ordained marriage, and now they're trying to reordain it their way, and in their way is perverted way.
Absolutely. It's one of the greatest gifts God gave us.
They're doing more than trying to. They have. They have accomplished that fact. They have perverted it, in the sight of most Americans, at least.
Yeah, it's just too bad that the ministers on the pulpits don't just, you know, forget what they're passing in Washington, D.C. If the ministers on the pulpits will just keep hammering the truth, and when they have a marriage in their church, don't allow them to change the vows. There used to be no problem with what the minister would tell the husband to do in a marriage. There used to be no problem with what the minister would tell the wife to do in a marriage, because it all went with God's word. Now, all of a sudden, you know, well, you can't say, you know, honor and obey, because, I mean,
right.
All of a sudden, those things are like, oh, you know, you're evil.
They're politically incorrect.
You know, and that might sound minute to some out there because of, I mean, the subjects were brought up here, the interracial and the homosexuals, you know, seem to be way more. But it all stems from the ministers not just hammering home the truth of God's word. This is the law. If you love God, keep his commandments. Here's a commandment. You know,
yeah.
I don't care what they're passing in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
You know, this is what God's, you know, and yeah, they might, you know, someday they might show up at your church to put handcuffs. I don't know where that leads, but who cares? You know, they didn't care in Acts. They were forbid. Don't go out in the street and preach the name of Christ. Don't do it. And what would they would immediately get out of jail, and what would they go do? They'd go stand in the street, and they would preach
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And that's, you know, I know it's the people are getting what they want because they have itching ears for only just to feel good. But, you know, when the people want something and they start praying something, and that's what, you know, I feel like that's what we try to do here. You know, and ministers should do it on the pulpits. People that have a radio show should do it. I mean, everybody that has a voice. And, you know, God's going to respect that. God's going to honor that. It might not look to the world like you're being blessed, but believe me, the blessings will come, whether it's now or later. That's where it stems from.
Yeah. One of the Acres of Diamond men just texted me, you better use the prayer filter on that prayer for that judge, and they're right. So we do use the prayer filter because, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about that as I got that text, and bottom line is, this could be, if you think about how devious they are, this could be just to bring it back to the Supreme Court so that they can rule for all 50 states because they could not quite get it done last time. So we got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and realize that sometimes things that the average person can see as good may be evil in disguise.
Yeah. Well, got the phone line ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
You know, on the issue of the homosexual marriage or the same-sex marriage, what it appears on the surface may not be at all the real goal that they're intending on going after. Because, you see, there's something that happened that kind of flies under the radar that most people don't pay attention to, is that, you see, wherever they change the law to make it legal for those people to marry, almost within the next day or within 2 days, they went right into the elementary schools and started teaching that to the kids. That this is don't need that right, except maybe that that it gives them financial support with, you know, medical coverage. Other than that, they could just live together, and I mean, that's what they've been telling heterosexual people for the last, you know, 40, 50 years. What do you need that marriage certificate for? It's just a piece of paper.
It's a good point. It
doesn't mean anything. It's just paper. Well, now it's a whole lot very more important than just a piece of paper.
Yeah, you're right, because once they get it, once they get that passed, you're right, once they get that passed, and you're right, the next day or two or week, the books are in the schools, the teachers are required to teach it, the companies are required to have the training, the anti-discrimination training, where they can't, where you must accept this, you must accept them, is what is pounded into the people.
And that indoctrination continues.
Yes.
To prove that this is probably the real goal, I did some checking on something on the amount of homosexual marriages that have actually taken place in the states where it became legal. In all of the states where it was legal, 0.5% of the population married. Same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
That's, where's this 10% that they were telling you for so many years? 10% of everybody's gay. Well, where is all the marriage then? And even that 0.5%, only represented way less than you know, something like half of the gay population in those states. So if even only half the people that were gay were going to go out and take advantage of this, how real important was that? Was that really the cause?
No, no. Not at all. Not at all.
No. You see the cause. It's they're after the kids.
Yeah. That's
and what did
they
what did Khrushchev tell you back in the 50s? Do you remember?
Take this country without firing a shot.
No, there was another comment. If we can get a hold of one generation of your kids, we'll take your country.
Hmm. Yeah.
We can re-educate one generation of your kids, we'll take your country.
Yeah.
Think they're doing that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, now, another thing, with the Crusades. You know, there's something, you know, they keep shoving that junk in your face all the time. Whenever you say, oh, look at that horrible Christian thing that you did. That's why Christianity should be abolished. Such a horrible, beastly thing. Well, there's a couple things about the Crusades. You know, I remember when I was a kid, there was a teacher that I had that was honest enough to actually come forward and say this in the class, is that the Crusades were fought for, not for religion, not for the gain of the Holy Land, but because the Arabs had cut off the trading routes to the Venetian traders. And want to take a guess who the Venetian traders were?
Muslims.
No. Mm. Venice. Do you ever remember hearing something about the Venetian black nobility? Mm. Which became, that moved later into Western Europe? Moved from Venice over into main part of Italy and then over into Germany? Look that up sometime.
We'll do it. Hey, we got another call.
On top of that, while all the troops were out of England and out of Germany and out of France and all that, over into the Middle East fighting for the Holy Land, well, some non-Christian people went into those countries and took all their estates and their grounds and everything else, all their own, all of what they were owning, while they're out of the country.
Nothing new under
the sun. We got another caller on the line. We got to get to this other caller here.
Hey, okay, thanks for calling and sharing that.
Bye.
Absolutely. Nothing new under the sun. There's a group of people that love war, that benefit from war, that war is their harvest time. And they were around then. They're still around now. Good morning, caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. This is Robert here in Tennessee.
Good morning, Robert.
I beautiful morning out here today. The lake is nice and the sun is out and not too many chemtrails. I just really called to thank you guys for what you do. I don't hear enough of that. And I just want to let you know I appreciate everything you guys do. I especially appreciate the DVD format because it gives me the opportunity to see the pastor for an hour every Sunday. And it's obvious the influence that he has had on you guys. And that's really all I wanted to say, except for I tried to get the, I told you the other day, Richard, I tried to get the Esau Edom book on Amazon. I just had them checked down here at the bookstore. $170.
Wow.
A little book. $170. They said it come from Britain, what they were saying. Anyway.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought so, because I've been able to share it with a lot of people here in the last couple of days. And I love that little book, you know, and I wasn't going to give mine up until I was sure I could get some more. It's a great little book.
What do we charge? $10?
Yeah, I think it's $10. Yeah, we spoke the other day and got him a couple out in the mail. And so, yeah, it is. But that's that, you know, we think we have these books available to us and the Bibles and the Septuagint and the Geneva Bible and these books that people have put a lifetime of effort into researching and bringing truths out. And, you know, many times we take it for granted because the majority of the people out there have never heard of it. And, you know, someone that would just, somebody tells me about this book, I go look on Amazon or something, $170, poof, click that right off. And that's a big turnoff, you know, when they find out we have it for $10.
Well, the young fella at the bookstore, I said, man, that don't seem right. You know, I got a little worried because I wanted to make sure I could get some, and I thought maybe you guys were having problems getting them. But he said, well, if you get them, you know, bring it by. I think he was interested because I was telling him the Israel truth. And I said, well, I wouldn't be bringing it by to sell because I don't care about the $170 they're getting for it, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm going to take him one. You know, young guy. I asked him if he was Christian. He's, well, yeah, you know, his parents were, and his name was Josh. And I said, well, that's your name's in the Bible. And he goes, yeah, it's Joshua. And so I began talking to him. And, you know, I don't really have a lot to say to people. I'm kind of like Ernest, the call last week, you know, from Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to you there, Ernest. You know, I know where you're coming from. I live alone, and I enjoy it, and I don't do the things I used to do anymore, but when I start talking Israel truth, I got a lot to say.
Amen.
And I owe that to the pastor. Man,
amen.
I can't believe how I've changed since I found that man. You know, if I had a hero, he'd be it. But that's all I got to say, guys. You guys have a great weekend, huh?
Hey, you too. God bless.
You.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
But we got to remember the pastor's hero was Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's what Robert there meant was.
You know, I know. He was just an instrument.
And he did. Robert,
just like we are.
Absolutely. Robert called. We got to talk earlier this week, and we agreed on
If you're going to have a hero, though, that's not a bad one to have, though, considering most people's heroes are.
Right.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. You know, the one that led you to Christ, the one that helped explain the word and in a way that you could understand it. Yeah, that's a good one.
Made you understand repentance.
Yes. Yes. And that was something, John, when you mentioned earlier about the race car driver speaking at the prayer breakfast. You know, you hear the, oh, accept Jesus into your heart. But usually that's all you hear from that, on that end. And of course, we know that that's false. You don't read that in the Bible. I talked with a man here one time and that said, oh, my life changed when I accepted Jesus into my heart. And we were having a great conversation up till then. And I said, well, I'm happy to hear that for you. I said, do you remember where that's at in the Bible? I don't remember reading that there. Can you point that to me? And it got real quiet and the conversation was over. And
yeah.
But what you did say about that driver is that you said he repented. And I think that's a big difference. You know, that's not an end.
But that's the beginning.
But repentance is a beginning.
What shall we do? That's the first thing that came out of Peter's mouth.
Repent. So that's a beginning. Now, you know, if that takes, if that's immediate, or if it takes 20 years, you know, but that's a good fruit. That's a good fruit. That's a, maybe he was convicted and he repented. Now, is that the end? Is that all? No, but it's a good start. It's a lot different than, you know, you see and you hear in these Judeo-Christian churches, raise your hand and just say the sinner's prayer, because there's no repentance in any type of sinner's prayer. Yep, I'm a sinner. That's like an alcoholic say, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, pass me another drink. You know, it's just an acknowledgement is all it is. And
right.
But when there's repentance, and that is the only thing, you know, that's got to be the beginning. That's got to be the beginning.
Talking about, you know, how are they going after the children. And anyway, James from Tennessee texted, and he said, the preachers don't teach two important things off the pulpits. You know, I mean, there's lots of things they don't teach, but he was specifying in these two things, and it's absolutely the truth. He says they don't teach their church members to pray, and they don't teach them to read their Bibles. You know,
right.
And I mean, why do you even have a church that doesn't teach you and, you know, you learn how to pray and teach you to read and study and learn the Bible? I mean, isn't that what church is all about? You know, I mean, and, you know, we go back to these marriage things. How many churches across this land, even if they don't agree with same-sex marriage, how many of them are getting up on the pulpits, putting the fear of God into those children, telling them to stop having sex before they're married?
Well,
that used to be to be common sense in the churches.
Right, but what they do now, because it happened in Atlanta, Mr. Cochran was the Atlanta fire chief, black man, and a Christian, praised and claimed Jesus Christ. So he writes a little book, not as the fire chief, but as a Christian, saying that very thing, Kyle. Hey, the Bible says marriage is between a mommy and a daddy, between a man and a wife, and you know, and extolling those issues on a real basic level for, you know, 7 to 9 year olds. And the sinning community finds out about it and goes to the mayor, and the mayor of Atlanta fires him for that, because it's a conflict of interest between that and that black man being the fire chief. And so some of the churches do put that out. But boy, when it gets outside of those four church walls, even if you're a black fire chief in Atlanta, boy, they can just take you right out. That's what they want you to think. That's what they want you to think. You know,
that's another shibboleth too, though. If you know you see a church and you think that they're basically preaching truth, ask them what their position is on homosexuality and gay marriage, because 99% of them will not take a stand against it because it affects what comes into the offering plate.
Yes,
right. And what you should see is an instant fire.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what I think of that, and then boom, boom. You know, I mean, that's what we would have seen 80 years ago from people. You know,
yeah, that's what 10 years ago from half the churches, at least.
That's what you'll see if you come to church with us tomorrow, whether that particular topic comes up or not. But as Robert said earlier, you know, he gets that DVD church, he gets to watch the pastor for at least an hour a week, and... You know,
people don't realize what a blessing that is. Do you realize what a blessing that is to have these timeless truths from 20 plus years ago? And God made the provisions, though technology has been a huge part of restoring these, and Jason's worked very hard to come up with the latest technology to restore some of these, whatever, they weren't even, what were they, VHS, can't even think of it anymore. You know, they were stored in a barn for years and years and years, and people don't realize what it takes to do that and the money it takes to do that. But that's a privilege, and that's a blessing to be able to have those timeless truths put out, especially in that quality.
Yes.
Well, it was what's funny is at one point in time, you know, the pastor told me he could throw them away. They were just taking up space. And I told him, I had a pretty good argument with him and said, you know, you can't throw these away. You can't do that. And he's like, I don't think anybody will ever want him. And I laughed, and I said, well, yeah. I said, they will.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been around there for a long time. But anyways, this is another... this is just
I saw this. You know, it's... What's that?
Go ahead. Well, I'm just saying, as we're talking about
you
these...
Know, you hear...
All right, tell you
hear
what.
About...
yeah, go, Jason. Go ahead, Jason.
You hear about... you know, when you hear about something, you know, a pastor... You know, baptizing or something like that. You know, we first our ears always they perk up. You know, it's like okay, and then we wonder okay, you know, what are they talking about full immersion baptism? You know, and we wonder, you know, are they baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ? Or are they baptizing for the remission of sins? And you know, I was reading the headlines this week, and they have this mega church down in Texas with this pastor Ed Young, and he's doing a campaign, and he's going traveling across the country right now, and he's doing baptisms. And so I thought, okay, well, let's see what this is about. Well, the interesting thing about it is, you know, instead of baptizing people, he's baptizing filthy books. And, he's on this campaign against some books that are come out here as of recent. And, you know, it says that it's a trap. It's a trap for people to, you know, get them reading this book and looking at it, and you know it'll suck people in, and it's no good, and it's got a bunch of garbage in it. So he's on a campaign to having people bring their books, and they're baptizing them in immersion in water. And you know, it's like, you know, talk about, well, we talk about perversion, but I mean, how perverted does that get when you know you don't purify it with water. You purify, if it's as bad as they're saying, purify it with fire. I mean,
yeah.
So when they reopen the book, then after it comes out of the water, is it changed? Are the words changed?
You know what you have when you baptize a book.
I mean, that's basically what they're saying. You know, and I read it. It was. I didn't even know what the book was about. I had to go look to see what the book was about. And you know, to me, it was interesting because here they're, is what he is he's out there promoting the book, because I know that there's a lot of Christians out there that aren't going to know anything about it. They had a couple titles, one title specific, and I'm not even going to name it because, you know, it's nobody has any business going and looking it up. But, you know, talk about perversion. Is here he's out, as far as I'm concerned, here's a dirty bird that's out there promoting a dirty book by giving the name of it out and having people look it up and then having people purchase it and bring it to him so he can baptize it. And, you know, what, you know, it'd be one thing if they were having people come there to be baptized, but bring up books to be baptized, to me, that's just as blasphemous as a lot of these other blasphemous things that we see.
It's out and out blasphemy. It is. But the word comes true. It you know, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the people love. Not that people tolerate it. Not that the people put up with it. Not that the people, just some of them listen. They love to have it so. John,
Not wanting to endure sound doctrine, they'll employ teachers of their own liking, wanting to have their ears tickled.
Yeah, doesn't it say they'll heap up? Is that where that is? Yeah, that they you know, it's piles of it. It's piles of it.
Yeah, here's a good example. This Grace Point Church in Nashville has become the first mega church to stand in support of same-sex marriage. The church, located in a contemporary Christian music hub of the United States, has been engaged in a conversation about marriage equality since 2012, when attendee Carrie Underwood announced her support for same-sex marriage. Now remember, this is Carrie Underwood. Isn't she the one that just came out with There Must Be Something in the Water, which basically is singing about immersion baptism? Pastor Stan Mitchell has now announced that the church, has come to a decision regarding homosexuality. Homosexual individuals will be permitted to marry, dedicate their children, and serve in the church.
Yeah.
But see, does she know any better? Probably not, if she's going to this church and this idiot preacher.
And where? What state is that in?
Tennessee.
Nashville.
Tennessee. You know, if you go back and read about Sodom and Gomorrah, When the two in Genesis 19, the two angels come to Sodom, and you know, Lot gets them into his house, and all that. And it says, verse 4, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter.
Yeah.
And they come from country music, and they come from Nashville today, and they come from Hollywood, and they come from Washington, D.C., and they come from the big mega churches, from every quarter, to support sin.
And they come from the seminaries and the monasteries.
And they do.
Everywhere.
And they do. And... you know, and you know, out there you may ask, why do you keep pounding on this? Well, that's because that's what the enemy's pounding on. You know, the enemy is putting it in your face. The enemy's not saying, you know, not saying, hey, we have liars now on all the TV shows, and we have liars coming in and adulterers come in to be interviewed, and the Supreme Court's not ruling that you have to teach your children in schools that adultery is okay.
Well, they kind of do, but not to, they the, do, not but to this extent.
But it's yeah. not. Yeah. But that's not the main focus. And the main focus for the enemy right now is I think it was Bob that called earlier, is they want that generation. They want the children. They can't fight us one-on-one, because they can't fight the true Christian, because the odds of one of us seeing 11,000 of them die at a time, they can't stand up to that. And so what do? Just like in the days of old, they come against the women, and they come for the children.
Well, they've always promoted immorality.
Right.
But it wasn't accomplishing the goal that they needed fast enough.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've gotten into the positions of authority, and now they're pushing this homosexual agenda. And it is. It's a huge line that's being drawn, and we really need to realize the significance of it, because once a nation turns towards the same tendencies as Sodom and Gomorrah, we know what happened.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Do want to thank you, Remnant, for joining us. Had an urgent prayer request, went out yesterday, and we'll probably send that out again first thing Monday morning. Pray for, there's a family on the ministry that has a visit that they have to go through on Monday, and it's Peter and Mandy. Just keep them in your prayers that they will be strengthened, and they'll continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. They have for just about all their life, and just pray for His strength to be upon them. And we do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Scriptures4America.org. You can go there on the internet, and at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, you can click on the live video stream and join us for a two-hour church service. And that's at scriptures4America.org. Well, men, thanks for joining us, Kyle, John, and Jason. And we thank you, Remnant, for tuning in and for supporting us as well. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out,
moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.